Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Real Talk. It's Lucas here, and I hope that today's episode informs and inspires you to have your own real conversations. As always, today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Trivan, maker of trucks, trailers, and enclosure buildings tailored to your needs. Be sure to check them out at trivan.com. A huge thanks to them for sponsoring the show and making it possible. One other quick note before we get into today's episode is that if you are willing and able, if you could leave a review, preferably a five-star one, on any of the podcast networks or platforms that allow for it, such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts, that will be much appreciated as it helps get the word out there and lets people know what we're all about. So, with that in mind, on to the episode. Okay, we are live with the Real Talk podcast, so thank you all for being here and being part of this production. It's exciting to get to do this, and it's a first time for a live podcast. So today's topic is redeeming entrepreneurship. So this is a bit of a broad topic, but largely what we're trying to do here is have a discussion about business, what it means to be a Christian in business, why are we doing this, what does success mean, how do we think about business in a broad perspective, and kind of why do we labor every day, and what are we trying to do with that. So with that in mind, I should introduce my three fellow my panelists here. So going closest and working across the table here. So we have Jake DeYoung to my left. He lives in York, Ontario, which is very close to Caledonia. He's a graduate, a hometown kid of Heritage Christian School. So can we get a round of applause for that, maybe? Hey, right on. All right, Jake went to McMaster University for human resources management following his stint at Heritage. And he was employed for 10 years and now has been self-employed for 5 years as the owner of Power Group Resources. He's happily married to his wife, Jess, has 5 beautiful children, and attends Trinity Canadian Reformed Church. All right, so give it up for Jake DeYoung. All right. Happily married, yes, that's good. All right, next we have Brad Schutten. So Brad was very ambitious in the bio he sent me, so bear with me here as I read Brad's extensive bio. Funny guy too, we'll just wait for this. So Brad Schutten is 37 years old, and he is living the dream life in the Attercliffe area, along with his wife Erin and their 6 children. They worship at Attercliffe Canadian Reformed Church, which is in the large, well-known city of Attercliffe. All right. Erin and Brad started their first business in 2007 when they were newly married and just 21 years old. They have supported each other in it as it took on many different forms over the years. Brad is the founder of Ontario Outbuilding and Ontario Metal Products, co-owner with Bruce DeBoer since 2020. They also partner with 3 other young entrepreneurs since then to establish Ontario Metal Roofers and Ontario Trough Pros. Teamwork makes the dream work for them, and they strive in weakness every day to do their work for the glory of God and to serve those the Lord places in their path. Give it up for Brad Schutten, ladies and gentlemen. All right, and last but not least, over to the far side of the table there, we have Aaron Osterhoff. So Aaron and his wife Lindsay live in St. Anne's, Ontario, where they raise their 5 children, ranging in age from 2 to 11. They own and operate Spring Creek Quail Farms, a vertically integrated quail farm. Aaron grew up just outside of Vineland and worked as an electrician for 8 years after completing high school, obtaining both his journeyman and master electrician license. In 2016, he left the trade to join Spring Creek and became a full owner along with Lindsay in 2018. His interests outside of business include politics, reading, music, and sports. Oh, give it up for Aaron Osterhoff. Okay, so as I mentioned off the top, we're talking about redeeming entrepreneurship. So I think in order to get into this topic, it'd be good to get a bit more of a background from the hosts themselves on what got them into business and kind of their background there. What was the original draw into business? And then, how do you define success kind of going into that? So Jake, maybe if I'll pass the mic over to you, you can chat a bit about your work and your story over at Power Group.
Yeah, thanks very much for allowing me to be here tonight. We started Power Group 5 years ago, like the bio had said. But I started like every good Dutch person and started in landscaping as soon as I got out of university there. and really appreciated the 10 years of being employed and just getting experience. My business focuses on the HR side, so scaling businesses and kind of understanding growth and working with people from a human resources point of view. So I work with owners, some on this panel as well too, where we push accountability towards growth. And then in that, also areas of bookkeeping and grant writing and hiring and HR and so on and so forth, anything that can kind of help business owners push their business forward. I guess that's a little bit about the business. In terms of why, perhaps, I got into business, there's that entrepreneurial itch that you have to kind of scratch, and I had that, and I was really excited to grow. And I think one of the couple motivating factors was the company that I was at was looking at geographical boundaries of going into the States, and I was like, I have five beautiful kids, like I mentioned. It wasn't necessarily exactly where I wanted to go, so that kind of drove me there as well, too. And then also just understanding things like this, things like Kingdom Causes, having that financial creativity and also impact was fairly significant to me as well. Some of you guys might know I have a brother, Ben, and he's in the Anchor Homes as well, too, and that was always, again, one of those opportunities to see institutions like that and to be able to kind of push yourself in your business to help inside the community as well. So very grateful to God for the journey that we had up until this point, and we're growing and very thankful. So that's a little bit about my motivation there.
Okay, and I'm gonna be more brief than that.
Okay.
Because I think my bio was longer.
Yeah.
So I would say when I thought about this topic, that we were invited here to talk about, I thought that there was probably many more qualified people than us. And yet, yeah, I guess just to chat about it and to think about it is pretty interesting. So when I thought back to why I would have gone this route, I actually don't have an answer for that. I just always felt like I wanted to. We were surrounded by parents and family growing up who own their own businesses. So it was kind of just built into me that way. And then when I met my wife right near the end of high school, then she had the same kind of goals. So we did it together. What else was I supposed to talk about?
Why did
I get in business?
Brad, do you want to talk about, we were chatting at the table earlier. So you have this transition, right? You get into business. It's kind of what you've grown up with. Your parents, your father owned a business and whatnot.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like the way to go out and work in the world, which I think is a pretty familiar story for a lot of people here.
Yeah.
But you're in business for a certain amount of time. And then at one point kind of, you know, it all kind of clicks. And you're like, am I just like doing a job? Or like, do I want to grow this and make this a bigger thing?
Yeah.
So what was that journey kind of like for you in that process?
Right. Okay. So it definitely started just with a work ethic. I wanted to work. Jake went to university and Heritage, so that's two pluses. I crawled through Guido and then went to work. So I just went to work at first, and I worked and worked and worked, and you just work and work, and you don't really understand why it's not growing. You kind of hit the ceiling, and you have people working for you, and then they grow up and hit that ceiling and move on. And then, yeah, we were chatting about it at the table earlier. It was like kind of like a moment where you're just like, wait a second, I got to stop and work on this business, not necessarily on the work that I'm doing. And that was kind of what could open doors to grow it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, Aaron, we were chatting also at the table earlier there too, and you said, yeah, I got into business to make money, which is a funny thing you tell your mother just to horrify her. But ultimately, of course, like, yes, money is a good barometer for success in business. But it tells a little bit about your journey in quail farming and whatnot, what that was like getting into it. And then, how do you define success in your everyday work as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, and I think I enjoy giving my mom gray hairs. I think that's kind of... it's kind of fun, but I guess all the way through school, I was kind of raised, I'm the fourth of eight, and basically you got to scrap and claw and earn your way around those, your other siblings, and I enjoyed that a lot, but we were raised in a really curious environment where we're always piles of good literature around us all the time, lots of good books to read, and our parents would kind of push us to do something all the time. Hey, be productive. Don't just sit around. Make sure you're working. So similar to Brad, I just worked all the time. I liked reading lots, but I also just worked a lot. But honestly, coming out of high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I did a couple courses on entrepreneurship and marketing at Niagara College, but I also got my real estate license and worked in that for about 8 months until I realized that I didn't know what I didn't know, which was a lot. And I was offered an electrical apprenticeship, and I took that and worked there for 8 years. Loved every minute of it, excellent company. They trained me well. I got to work with them and just learn so many things, make so many mistakes with them, which I'm so thankful for. But going through that, just this idea of the farming lifestyle, and then also just I guess more involvement in family and stuff like that kind of made me, just the love of business and the ideas behind business made me kind of head back towards the farm, and I became a partner with my uncle on the farm. And then he actually retired a couple of years after we started working together. And so I kind of had this idea in my head, a vision, a direction that I wanted to take everything. And it's worked really well for us in defining success. So we have a really clear mission of what we want to accomplish. We have a really clear vision. And then we have kind of the guidelines, so the values that define us as we go towards that. We use money as a barometer of success, so it's a measuring stick along the way, but it is not success for us. The success is kind of the purpose of the business. And then you have to be careful, because success always is, there's a personal side to success and a business side to success almost, right? Where success for me personally is more the relationships with my wife, my kids, and then work commitments and everything like that. But business-wise, you need to have something that your staff can buy into, and they know where they're going every day, and what success looks like, so that they can be rewarded for or know if they're succeeding or not. So it's kind of two different points, I guess, on the success side.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. So with that success comes obviously a responsibility. As your business grows, you add more people to it. Jake, maybe you'd be in a good position to comment on this, given your role with Power Group, supporting a lot of businesses, coaching them through, providing them resources. How do you approach that mindset of that, basically the responsibility that comes with being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, approaching, taking care of your employees, and also the mindset of growth that comes along with that? Is there a point where you can respectfully plateau and it's okay to be there? Or do you kind of owe it to your people to no, we need to grow? Just kind of comment on that, maybe.
It's a lot of questions in there, so I do my best with that. Just with responsibility to growth and maybe being self-employed, I think there is a responsibility, like I mentioned earlier, just with regards to God's kingdom advancing too. We have schools, we have churches, we have these institutions that really promote that. So there is a responsibility for that growth, I think, and for that entrepreneurship. And also just as a employer, you have a responsibility to your staff and to build teams and to really clearly articulate what the vision is. I always kind of find if you have nothing to align with, then usually what happens is, people will end up leaving the organization because they just don't see it. And so this is certainly not, we talked about that at our table. We pretty well did the whole real talk during dinner. So we're trying to recap all these points, but this is not meant that everyone's an entrepreneur. It's those who are an entrepreneur can also create awesome circumstances for people who support Christian schools, who support their families, and have a responsibility towards that growth as well. And when I look at my own business,
we started off with just myself, and I was fairly risk adverse, but we have 16 people 5 years later, and I'm very thankful for my staff, and I kind of pour everything I can into them with the mindset of seeing their personal success as well. So that's a few thoughts on growth.
For sure. So Brad, over at at Ontario Metal, you guys have had the opportunity to partner with some of these kind of spin-off business with other young entrepreneurs, giving them an opportunity at business ownership and entrepreneurship. Can you talk a little bit about that kind of process and what it's been like to bring people into kind of, well, you guys kind of spin off a separate business to do that, but walking people through the path of entrepreneurship and what kind of attracted them to that?
So, yeah, we kind of like rope them in.
Nice.
And we tell them that we're like a family and
that's
stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then they just go with it. No, there was a certain, I have the certain like ceiling that I can hit that I need other people alongside me. And it did seem like a good opportunity to give other people a chance to start something with someone who's already done it and not go fresh blazing out on their own and try to build a whole new client list and stuff like that. We learned lots of lessons over the years of doing it, I would say. Myself, like I've had a partnership and we've decided to not be partners, and then Bruce DeBoer is partnered with me now, and then when we decided to do this metal roofing company as a separate company, then we saw a lot of talent in Caleb Vermeulen. So we asked him if he would be interested in that. And yeah, it gives him an opportunity, and then we're working together again. And then the same thing with the Eavesdrops with Fred Vandenbos and Owen Vandermeerle. So, and they got lots of good guidance, and we have some coaching, obviously, which we all need. Even once you've done it for a bunch of years, mm-hmm. you still always more to learn.
Plenty.
But yeah. To see these guys succeed is, like, it's one of the goals. Like, to see them succeed in their churches, join committees, be elected to office, and just be able to serve and grow and pay their bills, that is kind of like an awesome thing to look at every day, mm-hmm. I find.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Well, and that kind of ties in with the responsibility we were chatting about a bit earlier, right? That you have a responsibility of giving your people an opportunity, right? So they can be involved in these community causes, in the kingdom causes. Yeah, Aaron, I think I just want to chat about too, like on that theme of building the kingdom through your business. What kind of opportunities are out there for entrepreneurs to think about? Similar to like what Brad was talking about with spinning off companies and getting other young entrepreneurs involved in business. Are there ways we can encourage entrepreneurship more for young people? Like, do you see that as maybe a need, or is it something we're doing well? We just need to continue to do that well, because personally speaking, I think it's really important that we have all these businesses in our communities, because it does take a lot of money to run all of our various institutions and causes. I mean, we're gathered here tonight to raise funds for Heritage, which is a great cause, but it's a challenging one to continue to raise those funds every year. So how do we look at those opportunities and encourage entrepreneurship more?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think about the people that influenced me and kind of made me want to become an entrepreneur or want to build a business. And a lot of them are just other guys who are willing to take time out of their busy days to go have coffee and chat about how they got to where they were doing it. So I think it's really important to if you are interested in starting your own business, don't hesitate to tap another business owner on the shoulder and just ask, hey, how do I do this? That's it's very normal, very common to have piles of questions. So a couple things that have really helped me. I kind of, in the first couple of years, I felt a little bit like I hit my head on the ceiling, similar to Brad, where I think we had about 20 people, but the decisions felt like they're getting way too big. So you kind of get decision fatigue, and you're not sure if you want to grow or anything like that. So I joined up with a peer mentorship group and also talked to other Christian business owners, and they all were at different stages of business, but they all talk about reaching that point themselves and how they got past that, and how they dealt with the questions that they had to deal with. One thing that we put into, like, we're very purposeful about is we've got two goals. So we grow quail, but we also grow people. And that's where I think as an organization, and I've had to realize this, that your product is not necessarily the main goal of your company. It's building the people is more fun than selling the product sometime. And I don't mean that to mean, like, it sounds a little bit flippant, I guess, about just building a person, and that's not what I mean. What I mean is you look at them as a whole person who has so many different skills and talents to develop, just like you do as a business owner. So you have to give them the opportunities within your company, and don't just look at them as a person working there and doing their job. It's a beautiful thing to develop together. So as a business owner, but also as your leadership team, as your managers and staff. So if you make that a purposeful part of your business, then I imagine what's going to happen is more entrepreneurs are going to spin off out of that, and that'll be a blessing, I think, for the broader community.
For sure, yeah. That's a good point there, actually. I like that a lot. But Jake, I think you would be a good person to speak on this issue. So entrepreneurship, yes, obviously important. That's why we're here chatting about it. But not everyone can be an entrepreneur, or not everyone is an entrepreneur. So maybe just chat a bit about, like, what is an entrepreneur? What kind of character traits does someone like that have? Because, you know, all three of you are entrepreneurs, right? But you're also three, like, there are similarities, but there's a lot of differences as well, too. So in your work, kind of in the business coaching space, like, speak about some of the character traits that entrepreneurs have, and that maybe, if you have any stories of people who were on their own and then went and switched to work for someone else and had a great amount of success inside a business, or vice versa.
Yeah, so I guess what is entrepreneurship? We talked a little bit about that in the sense that just having a bigger picture, right? It is true, not everyone is an entrepreneur, but someone that has the ability to see the whole picture. I think there's a lot of things that you realize pretty quickly. One of the things that I thought was you become more flexible when you start your business. It doesn't always work that way. So you have to really kind of focus on building teams. So an entrepreneur is someone that can see the big picture, but also an entrepreneur is one that can develop teams. And I think that that's something I've been coaching a lot of companies on, but also for myself to just really coach your staff to allow you to kind of grow as well too. So someone that has the ability to develop teams, and also someone that has the ability to see the big picture. I just wanted to say a quick story. You know, Aaron had mentioned mentorship and kind of how we got started. And I just want to share a story. When I decided to go on my own, I was analyzing the risk many, many times, and I was pretty nervous and all that type of stuff. But I actually came to my employer and I said, hey, I have this itch. I've served you well, and these are some things that I'm thinking. And I said, would you be a client? Like, I'm the employer and I'm expecting to get fired on the spot because of my entrepreneurial idea. And he said, yeah. Like, 6 months, give me 6 months notice and I'll be your first client. And I'll never forget that. Like, that was something that actually vaulted me the opportunity to have someone that set aside their own interest help me. And then I had 6 months to essentially build a business while I was serving them. And that was just, to me, that was an entrepreneur there as well too, and very thankful for that. So I just wanted to share that story.
Oh, that's really cool. I like that a lot. Okay, so I want to touch a little more on the success side of things. And you guys both talked about kind of hitting plateaus and kind of hitting your head against the wall, and then you add more people to the mix and you can kind of get to the next level. And we touched on the growth a little earlier too. I just have a real question on that. Like, is continual growth a good always? Like, do we owe it to people to keep growing? Is that what it means to do our best in God's kingdom in business? Or is it fine just to be like, no, like, I have a business of X size. Like, you have people who are self-employed. It's a one-man shop. That's awesome. You have giant businesses on the other end. You got everything in between. Like, how do we talk about that as Christians? How do we encourage entrepreneurship and like a go-getter attitude and let's build things, but also like we don't have to like work ourselves to death, right? This is not the world's best question. I'm not formulated very well, but do you kind of get where I'm going with this? It's real talk.
This is real talk.
Like, how do you approach that personally, let's say?
How have you
approached that personally, right? In your business, like, Brad, I hate to break it to you, but you're the old man around the table here, okay, at 37. So you've been doing this since 2007?
Yep.
So, like, in your journey, right? Like, you haven't been, like, you're at a certain level, and you're like, nah, I got to keep going. We got to get higher.
Yeah, but we've also had losses and knockdowns. And
yeah, right.
Made tons of mistakes, and you are always learning, and you have to love the constant learning. Like, you don't really ever get to be comfortable unless you choose it and find it and stay there. I don't think you owe it to anyone for growth, but you've been given a certain number of talents to use, and if you can, it can really benefit those around you. I think that, like, to say if you want success, just keep hiring people, that's not true. Sometimes people think if we just add in more people, then it'll fix the problem. But what I learned, and I did that, like, at times, through having, like, employees on the payroll as well as subcontractors full-time. But until I gave it up to people and gave them responsibilities, it would actually just get worse when we hired more people. Like, you have to just trust that someone else is going to be able to do that job as good as you can. And when they fall and make a mistake, you just help them pick up the pieces and try again.
Yeah. So to summarize that, is it fair to say that you're growing and you have the desire for growth, for change, it's because you want to use your talents the best of your ability?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the gist of it at the end of the day?
And you want to see, like, you'll find if when you're growing a business, you have different levels of employees, and some just really stick around, right?
Yeah.
If we stand still, then everything about their life stands still too.
Yeah.
And for them, that would be wage related or whatever, right? So creating a bit more opportunity is usually behind it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that they have an opportunity to get to the next level.
Yeah.
They want it.
Yeah. Does that ring true for you as well, Aaron, in your experience and your growth?
Yeah. I mean, I get the question regularly, like, when is enough? Yeah. Have you grown big enough yet?
Yeah.
Why do you keep wanting to grow? And it's kind of funny because I don't always feel like I'm growing because I want to grow. It kind of just keeps on happening.
Yeah.
And there's gentlemen out here in the audience who are much more experienced in this than I am, so it feels kind of weird to be up here talking about it.
Yeah.
But it is something that sometimes you have great plans. You know, business, you're supposed to lay a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan, BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal and stuff like that. And you lay these plans and you're like, yeah, this is going to happen and everything like that. And you have to hire people to make those plans happen. And you have to carry out a certain course of action, and you do all those things. And then the Lord opens up a door over here, and that's where success happens. It wasn't all your plans that were going down this path, and you grow because of that. And so you just, you're pretty thankful for it. So am I always looking for growth? Yeah, kind of, because you gotta make sure everyone progresses also in their personal careers. That's where I usually feel the pressure the most, in personal career growth for people around me.
Right. Okay. Jake, any comments on that?
Yeah, just was staring at you because I had one in the. Yeah, no, I just, when I look at growth is very exciting, and I echo what Brad says in the sense of God's blessed us with gifts and talents, and we're to use them. That being said, my mentor kind of rings true, and he uses the phrase, volume is vanity, profit is sanity, right? So I think sometimes there is a swag or there is a volume thing that people chase the top line. But there's so much control inside of your own business that can create better opportunities, right? So when you're chasing the growth, then your money is going out the door as well too, right? But if you're able to kind of be very purposeful with what you have, and you can have purposeful journeys for your staff, then you're also able to invest back into them with profit. So it's just a slogan that just kind of came to my mind as we were talking about it.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I think I've heard that before too. Yeah. Okay. So I think maybe to close off the main section here, and then we'll have a fun little Q&A after that. So you can ask your burning questions. But I think the reason, well, there's multiple reasons we got into this topic, but I find it personally interesting as a young entrepreneur myself to try to learn from gentlemen more experienced than I. But also I think, there's plenty of other young entrepreneurs, even older entrepreneurs of any stage in our community. And, but I think specifically on the younger side of things, I'd be interested to learn from each of you guys, maybe the thing you like most about entrepreneurship and then the thing you find most challenging for just to give some advice for anybody thinking about jumping into that space. Brad's already reaching for the mic there. Just because I think it is so important and not everyone is an entrepreneur, and that's completely fine because we need people working in businesses who can be effective in them. So best thing, worst thing, Brad, you want to go first?
Sure. Kay. Yeah. Just, the best thing, the thing that I loved about it the most when I first got into it was I could make all the decisions, and that's the worst.
Mic drop.
Tough question because I do like the decision making ability and stuff like that, you didn't put this on the list of prepared questions for us, I haven't given it enough thought to give a good answer.
That wasn't on the list, but if I had to think about it, I think just in entrepreneurship what I enjoy about it is being able to connect with others and being able to serve others. I love that aspect. I love the ability to come back, 15 years later to a place where I've been to and just kind of connect with people as well too. So that connection side of thing, I really enjoy. I think the tough side of entrepreneurship is when you're growing, you're often thinking about growth and you have to really protect your headspace as you grow, right? You gotta really think about your balances and your time and we have five kids, like I've said, three times probably this podcast, but that's always something that you contend with. And when you look at growth, you have to develop your team enough to kind of get to that point. So that's always a difficult point.
Managing the growth. Okay. Aaron, no other comments? You're good.
Well, I guess one thing I'd say is that, because I don't have any crazy wisdom or anything like that to offer, but what I could say is that there's a lot of good books out there that are helpful that I've found have kept me grounded during this journey. Like there's a lot of, obviously the Bible, but there's a book by Gary Miller called It's Not Your Business. And it really describes the conundrum of business ownership within the Christian community. Like how big is big enough? What's the right size business to have? Is it too small or anything like that? And I can't recommend it enough. And then also, I think Randy Alcorn, not Randy Mulder, sorry. Randy Alcorn, he writes some really good stuff. The Treasure Principle, it's a short read, but he really just outlines living for the line and not for the dot. And that's what operating our business in this world is, right? It's the dot. And we're called to use that towards the line, which is eternity, right? So I think that's the whole purpose to it. And I think like surrounding yourself, like reading good stuff, like Christian literature around books, because obviously as your business, if it's profitable and it is blessed with monetary success, there's great temptation attached to that to up your lifestyle along with that, and you got to really try to stay grounded on that and surround yourself with people that push you to live within your means.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It's kind of a mantra of stewardship, right? Like it's not your business. It's just yours for now. And yeah, using that to grow. That's actually a good little, any other books you guys want to recommend? Cause that's something I found. If you had nothing off the top of your head, no worries. But I found this challenging as someone who likes to consume business content is finding good Christian business content. So any recommendations, even a podcast, not Real Talk, but anything else?
I just use Proverbs usually.
Yeah, that's pretty good, eh? Pretty practical. Yeah. Jake?
Yeah, I knew Brad was going to say the Bible. That was a good answer. So there's a book that I study with some of my clients call it 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And the whole premise behind it is leadership is just about serving. It's not about position. It's not about fame. It's not about how much money you have in your bank account. It's about you serving. And I think it's a great concept. He's a former pastor and turned into a businessman. So I'm not really sure how that really worked, but he's very successful, and that's a great book.
John Maxwell, for sure. Okay, well, I think that'll wrap up the formal like podcast portion of this, and then we'll hit some questions and answers after that.
Hello. My name is Jason, and my question is, how do you relate between profit, greed, and Christian ethics? Because you obviously need to make a lot of profit to grow fast, but you don't want to be greedy about it. And how do you tie that to Christian ethics?
Who wants to take this one? Aaron, yeah? Or Bruce, yeah? You have a mic? Okay, here, take this.
I think that was what I was trying to allude to, right? In my last point there, profit is good. It's a sign of your company is operating well. Maybe you're asking in terms of like charging too much for products and everything else like that. And I think there are market dynamics that do regulate that. So I'm more of a free market person where. The market will dictate a fair price for the product. And that's what we've experienced for the most part. And then I think the biggest part with Christian ethics is what do you do with the profit? That relates to your lifestyle. So I'm sorry if I'm not going more into the ethics of what to charge for products or anything else like that, but I think that's pretty straightforward to me because it's usually what the market will bear.
Yeah, I think, again, the point of profit, obviously that's the point of business. I don't think we should be shameful of that because we have a lot of goals in front of us, including things like this school that need to be serviced that way as well too. I think just the point I would make with that is as long as you're grounded by your values, it really does ground you when you start to talk about ethics. If you say you are someone of integrity, then you are also someone that needs to operate with that integrity. And if you surround your team with that accountability as well too, that is very helpful. So I don't think we should be hiding behind profit, but then I also think let's be grounded in what our beliefs are so that we're able to utilize our gifts to the best of our ability and be very stewardly with them.
Okay, any other? Next question.
So, Steve Ott and Lucas, you and I chatted a little bit about this one. So, business owners, the three of you obviously successful, so that's wonderful. Often I hear things like, when is this business going to stop growing? Aaron, I think you talked about that already in terms of like, when is enough enough? Yet, often I also hear, especially being involved in fundraising to the extent that I am now, is just call them. They're successful. They'll cut the check. And it's sort of like you can't have it both ways. Now, we need balance. So maybe can you speak to that a little bit of when is enough enough? But, oh, by the way, just call them because they'll cut the big check.
Yeah, I think Gary Miller talks about that really well in his book, It's Not Your Business. And he does, he categorizes it kind of as three types of people. One that believes that a business should keep growing forever because there's so many organizations to support. And then another one who says at this size, you start getting into evil territory. And then another one who's like, you know what, if you own a business, it's a millstone around your neck. So you should probably not own a business ever. And there's dangers to all three. Right, and I think growing a business and just growing for the sake of growth is dangerous, particularly when you have a lot of cash at your disposal and can live a lifestyle or choose to live a lifestyle that reflects what your business is taking in. And I think that's the biggest danger. I think in our circles, it is a huge blessing to have big businesses, and I think we should all strive to have bigger businesses, in my mind, if that's what God has blessed you with in terms of talents, I guess. I think of the parable of the
the talents are given out to the various people to manage. But are we, in our circles, are we actually doing that well, where we're holding each other accountable? Sorry, just because you're making that kind of money doesn't mean you need to be gone 6 months of the year traveling. I know you can afford it, everything else like that, but you do have acts of service to do in your own congregation. You're not attached to your own congregation. Those are things that, as business owners and as I think mentors to other business owners and stuff like that, we need to talk about very openly. What are you doing with your money? And it's not your money, but what are you doing to steward the resources God has given you? And then I think the conversation around the size of the business becomes less of a tripping point for people.
Just a quick thought on that, I guess. I don't know, I equate it to pressure points. So there's times in your life, like, when should we keep growing, or when should we stop growing, or when do you hit the ceiling? I guess when it really impacts other areas of your life, that's when you really need to inventory, looking at the company, looking at your team, to find a roadmap to prioritize what matters. And I'm preaching to myself. My wife and I talk about it all the time. That's just an area that pressure point usually pushes you towards, I need to grow my way out of it, and I need to grow with my team.
Yeah, hello guys, thanks for your podcast. My name is Michael. Just a quick question. What do you guys think about ethics in terms of investing? Because I often think about this too. We're sort of giving a certain degree of support to a business when we put capital behind ideas and bright people. And I've done a bit of reading into like companies like BlackRock and others. And it just bothers me that these people who hate Jesus are like doing such destructive things with my money when I invest with them. But I don't want to see that happen, right? So I was wondering if you could comment on like ideas for coming up with private investments or other options that are still rewarding us for investing and beating inflation and so on, but that aren't getting behind companies that, you know, are destroying the world and fighting against what we believe.
Yeah, that's a great question. Who wants to chat on that one? You have any BlackRock investments, Jake? No.
No. I'm thinking. So just apologize for the delay. I think I coach a number of clients, and I would say that the majority of them do not focus on investments, and their investments is actually inside their own business. So I can't say I have a lot of experience with that, but that being said, I would say 5 to 10% of the businesses that I work with definitely focus in on that. You know what, if I could just relate it to myself, that might be the easiest. I look at wanting to invest in my people and investing in my business, and that's where I kind of keep that money, and I keep my focus on growth inside of my own business, because that's where it's impacted. So I've never had that, and the 5 to 10%, I can't really comment as to what their reasons are, but I would say the majority of people, they're putting it right back in their business, right back to the people that have gotten them to that profit margin.
Yeah, I guess to add to that, like I agree with that. And I'm kind of in the same boat as Jake, where it's always been like a right back in. So it's like an RRSP that everyone can see type of thing. So then they're like, when is it enough? And yet we have people stockpiling money lots of places when they're blessed with extra. But I would agree with you that I would struggle with that. And especially in this generation now with the younger generation, I could say that because I'm old up here. Things are expensive and we don't always work together to the extent that we could. And I would say like starting more like invest your money in your son's mortgage. Let's like those kinds of ideas we should explore, where you can still see a return on your investment, but at least you're benefiting this community. And then we could hopefully see a lot more or a lot less of of the money leave, and then you know what the work your money is doing. So
I believe there's an organization called the Harvest Foundation. I think, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them at all, but I believe that I think they invest on the broader market too. So I'm not entirely sure how that all works, but there's good opportunities to work with Christian investors, money managers who are a little bit more discretionary, I think, on which funds they put it in. But it's a tough question. I understand that.
Hey, it's Tim Dykstra here. First of all, appreciate the podcast, Real Talk, Lucas and Ty. Appreciate what you do. But just thinking on mission statements and the goal of a company, trying to really instill that in your employees, even from large scale companies to smaller scale. Just wondering, how do you instill that in your employees, right? Especially as Christians, we know whether you're an entrepreneur or not, our chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But obviously, as a business, that sifts into there as well. But when you have a company that maybe doesn't, maybe has employees who are not fellow believers, how do you incorporate that in your mission statement? But also be able to get everybody behind, you know, a bigger goal than just coming to work, especially because in the line that I'm in, I just think of trying to get my guys behind it and they're like, well, you know, I'm showing up to work to install a window, you know, like don't get, it kind of gets into intangible stuff. So how do you get everybody behind a mission statement is basically what I'm wondering.
That's a fantastic question. So you're looking for kind of like a practical approach to that, like day to day, and then maybe a bit on crafting that mission statement too, and some of those values. Who wants to jump on this one first, Jake?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think practically creating that mission statement together with the group really kind of mobilizes everyone. And I think another practical way of having your mission, your vision, your values, and where you're headed and what you're grounded in is just, it's like marketing, right? You kind of post it around multiple spots in the office so that you can be reminded as to why you're there. And for myself too, I'm very unapologetic about my own values. Like when I walk through a sales call with a client, whether they're a Christian or not, I am. And servant leadership is my number one value. And as a Christian, I want to serve. So I'm very unapologetic about broadcasting that and very consistent with doing that throughout my process and throughout my system.
I'll try. Being in the construction, I get what you're saying. And it hasn't been super easy over the years because sometimes it's like, what do you want them to get behind? Like, we're building a barn. We call it four walls and a roof all the time. So it is pretty, but there is more to it. And I would say, if I'm just showing up and, in your words, installing a window, then my guys will do the same. And if I have a heart for the job and love to share more information about how we're trying to grow it so that there can be success for all. And then also, if you have opportunity to do some pro bono work or give away money, it's nice to be able to like show the guys that we did this together. This wasn't just you came to work, filled my bank account, and now I can look like a generous person. It's all of us, right? And that does help. And I know that goes back to, I was joking when I said we rope them in like a family, but there is something to that where they feel comfortable enough that they know that you're on their team too. They're not just on yours.
Yeah, I found having a mission, vision, values, and really, really energizing for everyone to keep it in line. And I didn't follow Jake's method. I just went top down and said, this is the way it is. But I did use a little bit of thinking behind it. So When I started, yeah, it was five of us. So I just said, hey, our mission is we're going to make quail eggs on grocery store shelves across North America. Okay, well, that's a pretty clear mission. Everything we do goes towards that. And our vision is quail eggs on grocery store shelves across North America. And but the things that speak into that are our values. And I just looked at who the best people in the company were. There's not very many of us at the time, so it was pretty easy because everyone was working incredibly hard. And the values are caring, professional, and driven. And then, so the mission, it's not like I know what you're saying about, well, we have a pretty easy mission to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But how does that tie into a company? And it's, how do we make people's lives in the world better? How do you do that doing Windows, right? And so we believe that what we're doing makes the world a better place. And God has called us to do that. So then, but when you're articulating the values, then you can use language that reflects who we are, right? So caring means we treat others the way we want to be treated. That sounds familiar to me. Professional and driven. We tie that into protecting God's creation and acting in ways that that should reflect we're driven to be the best version of ourselves, which is the way God has created us to be. So you can tie those into those values that drive you on your mission. So for a window installer, I think you could do some pretty cool stuff with that.
Very cool. Okay, I think that takes us to the end, right? It's been a real talk. Thank you. Thanks. Hey, thanks, dude. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Real Talk. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen or watch the show. If you want to send us your feedback, and we'd love to hear it, please email us at reformedrealtalk@gmail.com. If you want to find us online or social media, we got a lot of great content there. Just search Reformed Real Talk and we should come right up. This show is created and produced by myself, Lucas Holtfluer, and Tyler Vanderwood. And our wonderful podcast manager who does all the editing is Mariah Tamaga. So we're really thankful for her contribution to the show as well. That's all for now, folks. Thanks for watching or listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.